This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For you. You remember that song, Moody River? It's always hard to figure out the words. I had to go online and look and read what those words are. It's very hard to understand it, but I love the tune. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February the 19th, and boy, is there a lot of things going on. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant. He's a former immigration official. He's written on immigration troubles. He has a book out called Immigration Chaos. And we're going to talk about, if there is one, really, the Biden immigration plan and where we're going with it right now. Where we're going with it. Also, does the death of Rush Limbaugh put an irreplaceable hole in conservative efforts and their fight to what many would say get this country back to the founding principles as closely as possible of freedom, personal responsibility, security, all of the good things? Well, we're going to get some thoughts on this, and also the latest what's going on with the now there's an impeachment effort going on with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was the old one, the father, Andrew Cuomo. And we'll talk about this with Andrew Ceresi, the proprietor of the Barber Pole, a little bit later in the show. And hey, we landed something on Mars. I guess we're taking pictures. See all that red, kind of red and flat from what you can see of it. But we'll talk a little bit about, I guess you could call it free enterprise and its race to the moon versus our government and its race to the moon. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most listened to radio shows. Let's find out how many of them Ed knows. I'm going to ask him each time we go down that top 10 list. The top 10 most listened to radio shows. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay, by the way. And I've been to all kinds for the many years I've been here. And it is the best. It's also got a great price. Call for your reservation. You know that. 727-733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. And don't forget also, Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Good Morning Clearwater, on the Tan Talk Radio Network, Paul and Tracy Allen. So, we got a lot of things going on. The death of Rush Limbaugh has hit. It's a gut punch to conservatives. And even before his body is cold, have you heard some of the cruel things that have been said about the guy? because people don't like his politics. Kind of gives you an idea, though. I've always thought that when people start going after you on a personal level, it's because they can't fight you on an intellectual level. So it's the same thing with Donald Trump. Most of the people that criticized Donald Trump were criticizing his personality and his way with people, and they didn't like that. I rarely heard anybody win an argument talking about his policies. His policies. Ed, I know you want to say something on all
well,
of that.
Well, the same people that are being disgusting about Rush Limbaugh dying and saying the nasty things are the same people that were during Donald Trump's administration saying we had no compassion anymore and there was so much hate in this world.
Exactly.
You know, it's just
the ones that they start up by going, I'm a loving person or something like that, and about four sentences later they're trashing them.
Yeah, well, some don't even wait for that.
But I think people really believe it. You know, they feel that they're compassionate. I have compassion for these people. I have compassion for everybody pouring over the border. I have compassion for those that are homeless, and and then they go in and they start tearing somebody totally apart.
I mean, there's
no compassion.
There's people on this planet through my years on here that I dislike and don't like, whatever. But I don't wish anybody death, and I can't find anybody that I would ever say, I'm glad that person's gone. That's just sick.
What about Adolf Hitler? Would you have been happy to hear that?
I don't know Adolf Hitler, okay?
I know.
Maybe Saddam Hussein, too. You know, I don't know Saddam.
That's a good answer. You don't know him personally.
You know?
Right.
But to come out and say something like that, and I've heard it enough yesterday and today already, that I just think it's disgusting.
Yeah. You know, there's that feeling in your stomach, you know, I can't even describe, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody will say something very offensive to you, and you get some kind of a knot while you're listening to it, you know? You're trying to hold back. You don't want to say anything because you want to be, gentlemanly.
Mm-hmm.
And I read something from a fraternity brother. We were supposed to stay off politics. We have a chain letter. And anyway, so we always are talking about other things, what we're doing in our lives and all of that since college, you know. But inevitably, we got into politics, even though we have a rule that says that you don't talk politics. And somebody got on there, one of them, and the things he said about Rush Limbaugh, it was all I could do not to respond to it. But I didn't want to continue that finger, that trail. I wanted to stay on our principles, you know. But you're right. It offends people to hear. And the guy's body is, with all due respect, his body's not even cold yet. And they went after him.
But for 4 years, we heard about all the hate because of Donald Trump, that this country hates each other, and we need to bring this country back and heal and be back together. And they're the same ones that are the first ones to come out and say stuff like that.
And, of course, their argument is, well, Rush Limbaugh was divisive. Rush Limbaugh was... No, he wasn't. That was the point of Rush Limbaugh's American philosophy. It was the idea that as an individual working hard, no matter what your color or religion or heritage was...
Yeah.
That this is the country that offered you that opportunity. So he was trying to do the healing, but somehow... If you say that a person is anti-woman long enough, if you say that he's racist long enough, after a while, it's going to, for a while, stick. And they've called Trump that, right?
Right.
Anti-women and racist.
Right.
I mean, we're supposed to accept it as the premise even before we start the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know?
Yeah.
So that's not fair, obviously. And Rush Limbaugh...
You know, we have a privilege in this country. It's called change the channel or turn it off. You don't like it? Change the channel or turn it off.
Exactly.
I mean, there's stuff I don't. I never watch the Communist News Network. Never. I can't stand it. I wouldn't watch or listen to it at gunpoint.
I wanted to mention before we take our break, and then I can't wait to talk with Neville Kramer. about some of the good things that Rush Limbaugh did that he never talked about. And there's a scholarship now named after him. It's been established to benefit the families of fallen members of the police and the military. And, of course, Rush was aligned with them. The Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation is launching the Rush Limbaugh Memorial Giant of Philanthropy Scholarship. It'll award around $35,000 to between 12 and 20 families who have lost loved ones in the line of duty. And there's been some others also. Just looking here, you know, he would send money and help and things. He never wanted anyone to know about it. Never mm-hmm. wanted anyone to know about it. But he did so much good for people. And by the way, if you ever spoke with Rush Limbaugh, either on the air or off the air, you would all say one thing about him. He was a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He was a gentleman. He would mm-hmm. listen to you. He really would, no matter if you disagreed with him or not. He was actually quite... I never heard him get angry in a way that some people do, right?
Right.
He never really did that.
Mm.
He had his opinions, but he never really... anger wasn't something that was coming out of him, yeah. really. And he had a sense of humor. We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let us take our break. We'll talk about Rush Limbaugh a little bit later also with the proprietor of the barber pole. But right now, we're going to take a break, and Neville Kramer's going to come on. We're going to talk a little bit about the so-called Biden immigration plan.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, everybody. Clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm going to sing my song.
Here we are, and we're back again on a Friday. Wow. And as usual, the month is flying by. And I am delighted to have back. I would say, Ed, that we've had Neville on more than anybody else, and we've had him on for a longer period of time. But the reason we keep having him on is because, first of all, he's very interesting and knowledgeable. Got a great background in immigration. You know, he worked in the White House, and he worked in the Capitol building area. He has he has all kinds of stories he could tell you. And he was involved with the borders. Immigration official, he knows all about that. Goes overseas, he does security consultation for companies. You know, you've got all kinds of things. So here we go with all of this trouble again at the border, and we got the COVID going on and all. And Biden the administration now says that ICE, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement people, gonna need pre-approval to arrest some illegal immigrants if they do not fall into certain categories. Categories, all right? By the way, can you imagine them pouring over the border? You stop, you grab one, you say, okay, now, sir, do you pose... There are three things I've got to check with you. Do you pose a threat to national security? That's number one. Have you crossed the border since November 1st? That's number two. Believe me, this is it. And three, have you committed any aggravated... My chair is falling apart. Any aggravated felonies? That's number three. Those are the only people that you can now stop if you're an ICE agent.
And if they say yes, then you just tell them, hold on, I got to make a phone call.
Oh, you got to laugh because it's so stupid. Neville, I apologize for laughing before introducing you. How are you doing?
No, listen, I was 26 years with the government. I would expect everybody would laugh at me right off the bat without even, you know, going any further after that career.
I tell you what.
How are you doing, Paul?
Well, I was doing good, except I got this trick chair, and I'm beginning to think that Ed actually puts it in here. And while you answer one of my questions, I'm going to get up, get rid of this chair, and get another one. But I'm doing good. But I'm looking at this immigration philosophy of Joe Biden and these rules for which ones go back and which ones stay. And I'm going, is this fantasy land?
Oh, you haven't seen the best of it yet. They've just come out with this bill. Senator Menendez from New Jersey has put forward a bill. It's so new, it doesn't even have a number on it. It's called the U.S. Citizenship Act. And it pretty much, by the way, they say it's going to go into effect in 3 months, but the three areas that you talked about, you know, those who pose a threat to national security, et cetera, those three types of aliens are, for right now, the only ones that ICE can deal with, as you stated. This is just handcuffing a law enforcement agency to the point they're going to be inept at whatever they try to do, because
they're going to throw up their hands. And by the way, you said a naughty word. You said aliens.
What's that?
Aliens.
Oh, I know. And
you can't say that anymore.
I tell you the bill. I know. Well, non-citizens now, and it's the first part of this bill. This bill talks for about six pages about how this 52 Immigration Act has got alien in it, and they're going to wipe it out with non-citizens.
Yeah,
well, that's nonsense. Well, we already have non-citizens.
This is 1984. This is remember all of the words, and you couldn't say certain words, and this is it. We are now in censoring words. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yep. No, but what I was going to say is this bill has got more giveaway. And I can tell you that, you know, the thing about the devil is in the details. If you read the details of what they are going to offer the illegal population in this country, for example, if the person has one of these things where they've committed an aggravated felony, okay, don't think that's the end of it. They've got a part of this which has a waiver for that. It has a waiver for national security threat. It has a waiver for every single kind of alien that they might run across that wants to become a legal, you know, have legal status in the country. There's a waiver to bring them in if somebody in the government can figure out, you know, that they think that they should be allowed. It's incredible what this bill contains, and it's all in the details that if they pass this bill or anything close to it, we're going to have an army of people coming in here and you know, tens of thousands of people, all the relatives, the spouse and children, all of them, they're not even going to question whether they meet the qualifications. As long as one parent meets the qualifications, the whole family comes in. This is going to be something.
You know, normally, without the virus pandemic, we would have, I think, a higher percentage of people that might look kindly on some of these people that have come in illegally and want to stay here. But I don't think that necessarily that the number, the arrow is going up these days. I think people want our borders secured because they are really concerned about the transmission of virus and whatever is coming in that way from other countries. There's no way that we're going to, if people are pouring across our borders illegally, that we're going to be monitoring there whether they've got COVID or not. So I wonder, sometimes I look at these polls that claim that a certain high percentage of people, you know, want to keep this kind of situation going. I don't really believe it. I think most Americans really want completely secure borders and a fair but legal immigration. You know, maybe speed up immigration, get more of these people in a little bit better, a little bit quicker. You know, but not illegally.
I think that's, you're right. I mean, that's what most people want, but that's not what Congress represents when it comes to immigration. Congress represents two political parties. They represent certain organizations, as you well know, the Chamber of Commerce and the churches and the Social Security people that back Social Security. There's all kinds of organizations out there that have their ideas about immigration and illegal immigration and what they want to stop and what they want to allow in. And everything is self-centered when it comes to this issue. Mm-hmm. My alien is better than your alien. That's all you have to remember.
Yes.
Is that my alien is better than your alien.
I work.
So if your alien's illegally in the country and they're here, there's going to be something in this. There's going to be something legally they're going to create to allow them to stay.
Well, your point is well taken. I worked for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for 8 years, and now they are backing all of these people that are in the country illegally because they're looking at it as a way for businesses to get cheap labor, and therefore they're not big on getting them back across the border. If you actually, you know, and another thing, Neville, is the number of actual illegal immigrants or, you know, however you want to call it, that are in this country, it's got to be more than 12 million people.
It's upwards of 20.
At least 20. I've heard that number 12 has been around for so many years, it can't be. It's obsolete.
Yeah, when I wrote the book in 2007, I used 12.
Yeah.
And that's you know, 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
But Paul, here's an important thing that we should all remember when it comes to this. Look at the name of the bill. It's called the U.S. Citizenship Act. And what they're doing is that it's like somebody breaking into your house. If someone breaks into your house and you feel like they're poor and they're looking for something, you don't just turn around and not only have them come into your house, but give them the keys to your car and empty your wallet to give them everything you have in the bank. Okay, that's what we're doing with this situation. We're just telling these people who came in here illegally, not only can they stay, not only can they work here, not only can they travel back and forth, but we're going to allow you to become a citizen. And that's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
They don't need to be citizens. They don't need to have a green card. They can come and go with a type of a visa that we can give them. But this is not what this is all about.
Right.
This is about giving these people everything we have to offer in this country for violating our laws.
Yeah. We're talking with Neville Kramer. Neville Kramer he knows what he's talking about. He's been involved. He's been involved with our border issues. He's been involved at the Capitol building with security. He's a security consultant globally, going around the world working with companies in their own security issues. So he knows of what he speaks. You know, here's an interesting thing. And I guess I'm just going to have to... The media and the left are all upset when people storm our Capitol building, break through, and spend a few hours inside, right? And then, of course, they're arrested and away we go. People storm through our southern border, stay forever, use our resources, this, that, the other thing, get our medical benefits, whatever else. Oh, no, that's okay. Well, I don't think...
Yeah,
go ahead, yeah.
No, in the old days, it used to be, you know, they were just poor people, but nowadays... You should see what's coming across that border. I mean, this MS-13 crowd from Guatemala and El Salvador. I mean, these are killers. These are the dregs of the dregs. And I tell you, they make the people that took over the Capitol look like Mickey Mouse.
Oh my!
So you're right.
Yeah. What about the chances of this legislation passing? I mean, there's got to be some cooler heads to even get it to the floor. For a vote, can't McConnell or the Republicans do a little 60-vote filibuster kind of thing on this?
Yeah, they're supposedly going to have to have 10 Republicans or 7 to 10 Republicans. But Paul, you know as well as I do that when it comes to immigration, Republicans and Democrats all have their little issues. Their alien is better than the other alien. So don't be surprised if they throw in a, a bone in there for the Republicans, like another 2,000 Border Patrol agents, like they did, you know. And that's the answer it's going to be to all the enforcement. There's no enforcement in the bill. So what they'll do is they'll add, okay, we'll give you 2,500 more Border Patrol agents. That should solve the problem. And the Republicans are going to say, oh, that's a great idea. Okay, and they'll sign it. I mean, they'll approve it. Yeah. That's the kind of nonsense that we're up against with Congress and this thing. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it, and I hope you'll have me on the show.
Oh, my goodness,
see it as it moves through Congress.
Oh, yes, and hopefully some common sense will prevail. I see this issue as becoming a huge factor in 2 years. I mean, if this immigration thing, like you said in your book, if it's a chaotic situation, and it seems to me that it's building up to be with the virus, boy, I think you could see a lot of people kind of sitting up straight and going, you know, I don't know, and voting against these people that are so, I don't know, are so strong on allowing people to just illegally get in here. Anyway, it's always a pleasure, Neville. Thank you so very much. And we do indeed look forward to talking with you the next time around.
You bet, Paul. Have a great week.
All right, sir.
Thanks for having me on the show.
As always, Neville Kramer. We're going to take our break when we come back. Rush Limbaugh's death, apparently an irreplaceable hole in conservative efforts to right this country. We're going to talk about that and some other things, including the fate of Governor Cuomo with the proprietor, the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Boy, that weather is something else. When I hear about all of those people in Texas, and they have no electricity for how long? And the temperature is like, what? The temperature was in the teens. They were in their cars, Ed, turning on the heat, sitting there in their garages, or not with the door closed, but you know what I mean, because they had no way of getting heat inside of their house. They had no way of cooking if they had electric stoves.
Mm-hmm. They're saying the big problem is there are trucks sitting with no gas. Can't bring anything in. There's no gas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a mess.
We were talking earlier that how during the hurricane, Governor DeSantis made sure there was gas. Remember that when they had the trucks coming down the interstate with the police escort and everything?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, of course, we've gone through so many hurricanes that our state is, you know, it's a guidebook.
So is Texas.
And Texas should, but this is not a hurricane this time around.
4 days and no federal help whatsoever.
I know. It's the whole thing.
And to top it off, there's one mayor on a border city that's got the border on it that they're allowing, I think 1,000 illegals are coming through today, added to the problem that they've got no power and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. Well, the Master Barber is here, and he is, I'm sure, churning at the bit to talk a little bit. First of all, Andrew, Master Barber, were you a ditto head?
And do you know what I mean by that?
A thistle head? Is that what you said?
A ditto head.
A ditto head.
Yeah.
Isn't a ditto a copy of something?
Okay, so that means you were not always listening to Rush Limbaugh, correct?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you're correct, yeah.
Okay. A ditto head was one of his followers. They would listen to Rush Limbaugh rather religiously. I know you're aware of Rush Limbaugh, and with your job, quite frankly, you couldn't listen. I know that that is the case, being a barber. But you knew of the impact of Rush Limbaugh, correct?
Oh, definitely.
Tell us your thoughts. Is it going to be a big loss for conservatives? Are there other people that we will listen to?
Oh, there's always other people, Paul.
That's true.
It's just like me.
That's
true. Somebody's going to replace me when I can't stand behind that chair and will probably be better than me.
No, I think you and Rush Limbaugh are irreplaceable. It's the old story that, you know, there'll be other people that will come along, but you guys are one of a kind.
But, you know, Paul, not to change the subject real quick. Rush Limbaugh was a tragedy, and I feel bad, but we're going to move on just like we always do.
That's true.
But you know what? 12.5 million people without power, gas, food in Texas, right?
Yes.
Now, do you know that on the same day that Joe Biden closed the pipeline down, that he signed another executive order getting rid of Trump's executive order to keep China off our power grid?
No,
did
I
you
didn't
know that.
No. What do you mean by keeping China off our power
China
grid?
China was manufacturing our transformers. These transformers weigh between 100 and 400 tons apiece to carry electricity to the different zones of our grid. Trump stopped that because he felt there was no way you can check these units to have some kind of software to do something to our grid. Now, since he has signed that executive order stopping that, up until this week, there was 5 million people in this country without power with different circumstances. Now you got 17.5 million people out of power in this country. I smell a rat somewhere.
Well, let me go back to what you said about China manufacturing our transformers. When did that start?
That started in 2009. Okay, and they were having them built there up until, I believe they said, 2017, maybe.
Are you saying the first year of the Obama administration, we somehow allowed China to start building?
Right.
Who authorized?
Well, they've been building everything else for this country. Why not that?
But who would authorize the transformers that we use on the grid to be purchased from China? I've never heard
that. You'd have to check it out.
All right.
There's sites you can go to with all this information.
Yeah, but you can't believe every single site. You just can't. I mean, that's...
No, I understand that.
All right. But you're right about the Texas situation. Now, everybody is pointing a finger. The governor, he's a Republican... He's pointing a finger. The Biden administration is pointing a finger. These days, Ted Cruz is pointing a finger as he gets off the plane from Cancun.
Isn't it amazing? If Trump was there, they'd all be pointing the finger at him, wouldn't they?
Of course they would. Yes!
Okay, let me tell you, if Trump was there, you would have had the tanks pulling these trailers to get the supplies to the people.
Yeah.
He would have done it in one day.
Yeah.
Here you got him, you got Biden looking for Bernie Sanders' mittens to keep warm if he goes there. This whole administration is out of their mind, Paul. And then they're letting illegals in through the crisis in Texas, 1,000 of them. Where are they going to put them? They're going to build a campfire for them?
It's chaotic.
Democrats will probably sit there at the border and get rid of them big blow-up things that they put over the tennis courts with heat in it for the immigrants.
There you go.
While the Americans die over there.
Yeah. In the meantime, up in New York, now there's an impeachment effort going for your former state's governor.
Mario, the Democrats don't even want him.
That's correct. And look at the way New York City's Mayor de Blasio turned on him. No love lost there.
You know, Paul, New York is a mess. It's now called the Rotten Apple.
Yes.
Not the Big Apple. The Big Apple's dunk. Somebody pulled that out at Halloween time. It's the Rotten Apple.
So does... If you're looking into your crystal ball, does Cuomo get through this, or do they throw him out of office?
They throw him out.
Okay. even before the next election, because he wanted to best his father. His father served three terms. Cuomo was in his third term. He wanted to serve a fourth.
Well, he did best his father. I mean, his father was a nutcase, too. He bested him because he outdid him. He's a real nutcase.
Yeah. Have you noticed all of a sudden, remember when his brother was on CNN? Where's that story here? All of a sudden, CNN gets religion and does not allow his brother to bring up Governor Cuomo because that would be a nepotism kind of program. Have you heard that one?
It's amazing what they do, Paul, to cover. There's no two sides to what's going on today. But you know what, Paul? I would love to see, you know, when you go down the street and you see the person with their face mask on and their gloves driving their car and they're the only ones in it, right?
I know, yes.
Okay, wouldn't you love to see those people at the border when the illegals come across?
That's true.
With all kinds of disease, huh? And that, those are the ones that voted for Biden.
And that's why I think that the tables are going to turn in 2 years, because of people not understanding how liberal Biden, how out of it and liberal he is when it comes to the border. I think that there's going to be a reaction.
Well, I don't think it's going to take 2 years. I think people are going to start going bananas in about another 2 months.
Yes.
What do you think the American people are going to do when they hear what they're giving the illegal immigrants? When you got people losing their businesses here, people don't have money to put food on the table because of their whole COVID fiasco, okay? I think people are going to revolt like you've never seen.
Yeah.
They better make that gate bigger at Washington, believe me.
In the meantime, Master Barber, there's the ongoing issue of the virus and reopening schools. And now, the Quinnipiac University poll shows that when it comes to Biden's handling of the reopening of schools, his approval rating drops through the floor. Only 42% of those surveyed by Quinnipiac say they approve of the job Biden is doing in helping schools return to in-person instruction. Well, if you've listened recently, they don't even know how to come up with any kind of a coherent message. Have you listened to Biden try and explain his school policy?
Number one, when you talk about Biden, you need to stop saying approval rating.
Okay.
Because with him, it's nothing but disapproval rating.
All right.
Okay, so from now on, we'll just say the disapproval. And I can guarantee you right now, I think it's about 87%.
Yeah. Especially with parents. There's no, at least with Trump, you knew that he wanted the kids back in school. At least he took a stand. Biden is trying to skirt the line. He's got the unions, the teachers' unions. They send him all kinds of money. You know that.
Let me tell you something. But do you know what they need to do? They need to do a Ronald Reagan on the teachers' unions. Come back to work, you're all fired.
Like he did with
Bring on the new.
That was one of the first things Ronald Reagan did when he took office, was he fired the air traffic controllers that were on strike. I remember that very well.
There you go. Hey. Let history repeat itself.
Yeah.
Those people wouldn't know what to do, would they?
Well,
they can all go teach across the border now.
Yes, they could. But the only thing is that he can't fire teachers, but it's not the same thing. But you would think that these governors would clamp down. These governors would clamp down and say, you know what? And also the school districts themselves would say, well, I don't care what union you're in. If you don't come back to school, we're going to fire you.
Home. It's their dream.
It seems like the true color of these school unions is coming out now. They want. Did you hear Nancy Pelosi talk about it the other day? Not that she can make any sense, especially when you know what. The nice thing about the mask on Nancy Pelosi is you can't hear what she's saying. Really, I mean, you could barely understand. You could understand the words before the mask. They didn't make any sense, but now she's muffled. Now you can't even understand the words.
And you can't see her dentures going all over the place.
She's got a little straw. She's sucking her vodka under the mask.
That's what they said. She's coming out with her own vodka now. They're calling it Nancy Pelosi vodka with no proof.
Yes. It's very easy to make fun of that poor lady. She's, we got a lot of walking Walking Dead in Washington, if you think about it.
I told you, we got Woodstock.
I think Biden might be a zombie, and I'm quite sure that Nancy Pelosi is a zombie. I mean, she's got to be. There's no way that you would talk like that if you were really alive.
She's 80 years old.
Yeah.
And she's a drunk. How do you think she's going to be?
Also, as long as we're poking fun at old people, what about Dianne Feinstein?
She's a sweetheart.
She's lost it.
Didn't she have her Chinese mister there?
She had a show for
her all around.
Yes, indeed.
20 years.
Yeah. And look, with
him all kinds of information. She probably had an affair going on with him.
I'll tell you what. She might have some Chinese grandchildren now that I think of it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, enough of this frivolity. Everything going well at the barbershop? Is anything going on? Whoa, there we go. I think we just lost him. That's all right. Ed got tired of the master barber, and he just cut him off. Are you still there, Andrew? No. Okay. Hey, you know what? We'll be talking with Andrew again on Monday. And we can apologize to him at that point, so no problem there. Let us take our break. Let us take our break, and when we come back, among other things, the top 10 most listened to radio shows.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a rainy, overcast Friday in Tampa Bay, but it's a heck of a lot better than most of the rest of the country with all the snow and with all the cold. And I noticed that all of these climate changers kind of go into hibernation about this time when we get really bad weather like we've had. I guess they really think that the planet is warming all the time, you know. So anytime you get some real cold weather, kind of goes against their logic. So NASA has unveiled its first pictures from the Mars rover. It's called Perseverance. Successful landing. You know, it's just that it boggles the mind. Do you know how far away this planet is? That you are able to take a little machine like that, get it up there, get it off the thing that brought it there, have it move around.
And it's got a third piece to it. It's got a helicopter.
Exactly.
Yeah, that breaks off of it and it can fly around.
But just think about it, how far away that is and what we're able to do. It
takes 11 minutes for the transmission to get here.
It just boggles the mind. And it's also going to be able to collect samples.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're going to actually get it back. Everybody was excited about it. And I'll tell you what, I was a little worried about NASA. I started to think, you know, the days of our glory with that governmental organization were over. And then these things have restored my spirit in our ability to do these kinds of things. You know, eventually, I guess we are going to land a human being on Mars. Where, you know what the temperature is typically there?
I don't know, no.
About 176 below.
Below.
Yeah. So if you go, Ed, if you go.
Dress warm.
Bring your mittens.
Bernie Sanders, I can borrow his.
You can borrow his.
If how does that thing operate in that cold
I don't know. That's
weather.
A very good question, yeah. You can't use an oil or anything to lubricate
right,
it.
Right.
I would think it would immediately freeze to death as soon as it got outside there. But
yeah, it runs on batteries, too. I would think the cold weather would affect the batteries.
And how we get the Energizer Bunny up there once we go out? There's all kinds of questions in my mind. But anyway, we are so delighted that that is going on. And in the meantime, we've got all of these private companies that are developing things and space stations. It's kind of an interesting time when it comes to our space efforts, you know, very interesting. Now, before we do our top 10, we had some sad news. For those of you that are Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, a few days ago, Vincent Jackson was found dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too much about him personally, but Ed, you knew a little bit about him. He was a Pro Bowler, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about his life, and do you know anything about what happened to him?
I covered him in the locker room for all the years that he was here. Very, very nice guy. And I don't remember seeing him ever being upset in the locker room or anything like that, but always had a smile. He does so much for charities. He has so many charities. Evidently, he was found dead in a hotel room, and we're just finding out that he'd been living in this suite hotel, lower end hotel. Well, I don't want to say lower end, but you know, just one of those regular hotel rooms with a suite. You think with an athlete, he's got a balcony and a penthouse.
Well, the first
penthouse.
Thing you think about, and I'm just going to say it, is that he's come upon some hard times and maybe...
No, it was not hard times.
Okay.
He's got a mansion, ironically, a mile from where he was staying.
I stand corrected, all right.
Evidently, he'd been staying in there since January 10th. They don't know much more than that. They did a welfare check on him 2 days or 3 days before that. Because
why would they be doing a welfare check?
Well, because nobody heard from him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I guess kids, whatnot. And then he was found dead in the hotel room, slumped in, over the couch.
Very sad.
Sitting in the couch. And now they're coming to decide that after the autopsy that he was a chronic alcoholic.
Okay.
And he may have, he did expire at least 2 days before they found him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So there's some family issues going on.
Sure.
Evidently, he... Maybe he'd moved out or separated for a couple.
I don't know.
That's private family stuff. Everybody goes through that.
That's true.
You know, what they're going to find out, was it the CTE with the brain getting the concussions from
football
that
days.
he was using alcohol instead of the painkillers that he had when he was a player. He has some friends are coming out saying he was a pretty bad drunk.
Sure.
I never saw it. I never heard it either. But
he was a good soul.
He's great. Great person.
And you can
almost put him up there with Leroy Selman, who passed away
eight
years ago. He's one of those guys that give you the shirt off his back. Nice guy. Just a pleasant man.
And a hell of a football player.
And a great football player.
Yeah,
he was well-liked here when he was playing.
Yeah. We
had a lot of class.
Well, we say rest in peace to Vincent Jackson. All right. It is time for our top 10. And, of course, with the death of El Rushbo, and I guess we can say that now because he referred to himself that way, El Rushbo. We thought it would be interesting to find out what are the current top 10 most listened to radio shows. And this comes from Wikipedia. They're fairly current numbers, you know. We can't go back and... There was not a great way of measuring listenership way, way back. There were programs back in the 30s and 40s before television. Everybody was listening to radio, and they had radio shows, dramas, and musical shows, and the whole bit. But in this day and age, with all of the other things to do, you know, radio kind of takes a backseat in some cases. But we found the top 10 most listened to, and here we go, all right? Number 10. The Mike Gallagher Show. Now, that's a conservative talk show, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Salem Network. And the weekly listeners In millions, 8.5 million. Have you ever heard of Mike Gallagher?
No.
Yeah, I've seen him on TV. He'll be popping up on certain programs, cable news programs, once in a while. All right, number nine. Coast to Coast AM. Ever heard that one? Coast to Coast AM. It's on the, it's called Paranormal Talk. They talk about the occult.
Okay.
And aliens and witches. And they talk as if there is truth to curses and things like that. Okay. And it's an overnight radio show, and it's got 10.5 million people listening. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number eight, the Glenn Beck program. You ever heard of Glenn Beck?
Yes.
He is a conservative talk show host. He's on the Premier Network. It's an East Coast AM show, and he's got 10.5 million people. All right. Number seven. The Mark Levin Show.
Yeah, I heard
of
him.
You've heard of Mark Levin. Mark Levin was a dear friend and of Rush Limbaugh. I watched him give a tribute to Rush Limbaugh and talk about how Rush Limbaugh, before Mark Levin became known, offered to finance his trip to the Cleveland Clinic because he had a heart issue, and he was going to pay for the whole thing for Mark, and Mark was very...
He's funny. Imus used to do expert.
Mark Levin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is kind of funny.
Sections from his show.
He gets so angry.
What are you doing? I talk like this. Why aren't you listening to me?
Anyway, he was number seven. Number six. Morning Edition on NPR. It's an AM drive time show. 13.1 million people. Number five. The Dave Ramsey Show. Now, that's a financial show you know about?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey. He's self-syndicated. That sounds like self-medicated.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
Self-syndicated. I give myself the shots. He's a midday host. 14 million people listen to him. Number four, another NPR show, All Things Considered. That's been around for a coon's age. It's a news magazine format, PM drive time, 14.7 million people. Number three, Marketplace, financial news show. It's on the APM network, PM drive time, 14.8 million people. Number two, I don't think you know this program, Ed. It's called The Sean Hannity Show.
Yeah, I know.
It's a conservative talk show. I knew you knew that. But he's got a TV show as well. But you know he does a lot of radio, right?
Yeah.
You knew about that? It's on the Premier Network. 15 million people.
Wow.
All right, Ed. We got a little time here.
Oops.
I'm sure you have no idea who up until now was the most listened to radio show personality.
Was it the Paul Malloy Show?
It was. How did you know that? Thank you, everybody, for this wonderful award being number one. No, unfortunately. I think I was 11th. That's why I couldn't mention my show.
Maybe you can grab Rush's listenership.
I'd like to grab his paycheck, Ed. Yeah. Is that okay?
What was he worth? He was worth like some $63 million or something like that. Something
he had
like
23 million. Oh, anyway, really? I got to get this. Well, give me the number one. What's number one?
Oh, Howard Stern. I don't know.
Howard Stern. Roll the drum.
I did. Go ahead.
Oh, I forgot.
We got like 10 seconds.
Okay. No, you're not back. It's Rush Limbaugh's show, for goodness sake.
I know it was Rush Limbaugh. I said that, and you said, go and give me a name.
15.5 million people. He's still number one. All right, there you go. We'll be back on Monday. Please remember, freedom works.